So we're holding in Malachim Aleph Perek Beis, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. We were in the middle of a conversation between Yoav, who went to hold on to Karnas HaMizbeach, the side of the Mizbeach, and David sent Benayahu ben Yehoyada to go and kill him. There's a whole conversation back and forth between Benayahu and Yoav. Yoav was, on one hand, he wanted to be killed by Sanhedrin, because if he's killed by the Sanhedrin, then his descendants will get his inheritance. On the other hand, if he's killed by the Sanhedrin, he will not be buried with his family. So, Benayahu brings this message back to Shlomo. And Pasuk Lamed Aleph says, "Ve'emar lo ha'melech, aseik asher diber ufgaboi ukvartoi." Do as he says. Kill him right there on the spot. Vasiroisa d'mechina mashar shavach yev ma'olai ma'al beis avi. Right, kill him, and that way he is going to. Since we're not going to be bringing him back to the palace, it's going to be done by the Sanhedrin. And I'm sorry, since it was not done by the Sanhedrin, he can be buried with Kevar Avaisa, with his family.
So his family doesn't need to lose his property.
Right.
There's a Yerusha. Right. Right.
Yeah. So what does he mean, Vasiroisa is Dmechinam, Asher Shavach Yayov? That's referring to the Klolos. David HaMelech cursed Yayov. And he said within his family there will be all these sicknesses. There'll be a metzayer, a leprosy, here, let's see. But all these curses, Yoav is now saying that if you kill me, then the curses that David will cast upon me and my family should not happen to me, rather than they should happen back to you again, Shlomo, in your family. Because it's not fair that I should be killed and that my family should suffer these curses, these klolos. But Shlomo says, no, the klolos will be casted on you and your family. But Shlomo was wrong at this point. And in fact, these klolos were recasted on Shlomo and his family. Like we find by Rechavam. It says, V'amelech Rechavam mis'amitz lalois v'amarkova. And that's referring to a Zav. When the Pasuk says, when the Pasuk is describing a Zav, it says, Kol Amerkav Asher Yirkav Olav HaZav. And the reason why Rechavam had trouble riding was because he was a Zav. And because of that sickness, he couldn't ride very well. Metzayer we find by Uzziah. It says by Uzziah, v'ataras zarcho b'mitzchoy. He had leprosy on his forehead. So again, these are all the curses that David HaMelech casted on Yoav, which Yoav is now throwing back to Shlomo, because he says it's not fair. I should be killed and have these curses. Machzik b'pelech is Asa, right? Machzik belach means a sickness in the person's legs. Neifel b'cherem Yoshio, it says that they killed him in battle, right? So he fell by the sword. And the last curse is chasar lechem, someone who does not have bread. That happened with Yechonia. That it says by Yechonia, he always had a food supplied by the king. He did not make a living on his own. He had to be supplied food by the king. And we see that all the curses that David HaMelech wanted to curse Yoav with fell now on Shlomo and his family. Which is a bit ironic, because David now tried to curse Yoav and then it came back to his family. That's unfortunate. In any case, that's the mechinam that Shlomo is referring to. Beishiv Hashem as domai al roisha yeshapago b'shnei anoshim tzedikim v'tayim menu. Hashem will avenge the blood of these two righteous people that Yoav killed. V'yargim b'charev, he killed them with a sword. Avi David lo yada. Don't think that he did it with the approval of my father David. He had no clue about it. Did not know anything. It's Avner ben Ner, Sartzva Yisrael. Avner was the general of Shloimei, the first king of the Jewish people. It's Amasa ben Yesar, Sartzva Yehuda.
Amen. Hope it tastes good.
No, yeah, water tastes very good. Water's the best. So why is it called? Why does the pasuk refer to these two people, Avner and Amasa, as tzaddikim v'toivim mimenu, greater people than Yoav? So the Radak explains that it's referring to the orders that the kings gave their generals. Some of the orders were not necessarily the right thing to do. And Amasa and Avner did not listen to Shaul when he gave these kind of orders. And Yoav did listen to David when David gave him these orders. Where do we find that? We find that by Noiv Yar Koyanim. Noiv, the city of the Koyanim. It says over there, V'yomer HaMelech LaRotzim HaNitzavim Sebu V'Amisiz Kohani Hashem. Shaul turns to the people around him and he says, go ahead and kill the city Noiv. So who were these people that were standing by him? So Chazal Darshan, that it's referring to Avner and Amasa. Avner and Amasa were standing by Shaul. And when Shaul gave them the order to kill out the city of Koyanim, they refused to obey. Why not? Because they were Derish Achin V'Rakin. They were Derish anytime the Pasuk says Ach, anytime the Pasuk says Rak. The particular drasha that tells them not to listen to a king is as follows. It says in the Pasuk, it says, Kol ish asher yamres picha, anyone who disobeys you, you must will be killed. Right? So maybe even if Shaul tells you not to go in the ways of the Torah, maybe we should listen to him. Right? Because otherwise the person will die. And the Pasuk says later on, Rak chazak ve'ematz. It says, Rak chazak ve'ematz later on, as a mute, to eliminate a situation where a king tells you to go against the Torah. In that situation, you're not allowed to listen to the king, you will go against him. And even if you disobey the king, you will not be killed. That was the drasha that Avner and Amasa learned out. However, when he was faced with a very similar situation, when David told Yoav to kill Uriah, he immediately did so. Right? And even furthermore, the Avner and Amasa, they were standing right by Shaul. And they still did not listen to him, even though they were standing right there when he gave them an order to kill the city of Koyanim. When Yoav, he wasn't even standing by David. He got a letter from David telling him to kill Uriah, and he went ahead with it.
He advertised it too.
Sorry?
He advertised it too.
Right. We saw that last time, yeah. That was something personal between David and Yoav. Now, what Rishlaim was referring to is a situation where he should have disobeyed David and he didn't. That was a mistake. Unlike Avner and Amasa, who disobeyed Shlomo when they should have. They did the right thing. The person who ended up killing Noiv was Doeg HaYadami himself. He was the one who delivered the message to Shaul, and he was the one who ended up killing the city of Noiv. Right, so David did not know, and we see clearly that he did not know, because he tore Kriya, and he had a fast when he heard that Avner was killed. It was very obvious to everyone when David was mourning over the death of Avner that, in fact, David did not have any part of it. and he disapproved of what Yoav did. Let's see the next pasuk. V'shavud me'am b'roish Yoav v'rosh zara l'oilom v'dovid l'zara l'vesa l'kisa yeshalom ad oilom me'im Hashem. Over again, over here, Shlomo is referring to what we spoke about before. That he wants to, he's saying that the klolis that David casted on the household of Yoav should take place. They should not come back to his household, Shlomo's. But, again, he was wrong. That did not happen. And, in fact, because he killed Yoav, the klolis came back to him. David, Bnei Yehu follows the orders of Shlomo. He kills Yoav, and he's buried in the Midbar.
Did he fight back, or did he just say, hey?
No, he knew that he was going to be killed.
Yeah. Kill me.
Yeah. He knew he deserved it as well. Right. Now it says they covered Bevesa by Midbar. He was buried in his house in the desert. So there are a few drushes that were made on what this word is referring to, the Midbar. So one drush is that just like a Midbar is a place that's open to everybody, so too the house of Yoav was a house that was open to everybody. He was a big Baal Chesed. He would feed the poor. He would support those who didn't have anything. He was a very, very generous individual. Another drasha is that just like a Midbar is clean from Gezel, obviously there's no Gezel in the Midbar, there's no stealing going on in the Midbar. So too, because there's nothing to steal. So too, Yoav, the household of Yoav, is clean from Gezel. He did not steal anything. And one last drasha is that just like that when Yoav died, Bnei Yisrael became like a Midbar. They were dry like a Midbar because Yoav was a great Talmud Chacham. And when he died, the Torah was dry. The Bnei Yisrael were dry like the Midbar. In any case, he's buried in his house. And to commemorate his good deeds, he was buried over there in that house to show what a good person he was. Okay, so now Shlomo is going down the list, and what does he have to deal with next? Oh wait, we have one more pasuk. Veitan Melech es ben Yoav ben Yehoyada tachta v'al hatzava. Now that Yoav is dead, he has no general, so he appoints Bnei Yoav ben Yehoyada to be the next general. Tzadik HaKoinos and HaMelech Tachas Avyasar. Tzadik is the next Kohen Gadol instead of Avyasar. Now, who do we deal with next? We dealt with Yoav. We dealt with Adon Yoav. Now we're going to deal with none other than Shimi ben Gera. What did Shimi ben Gera do? He cursed David HaMelech as David HaMelech was running away from Avshalom. He cursed him out when he was in this time of weakness. And now he's going to be punished. Now, this is very difficult for Shlomo to do, in particular because Shimi ben Gera was the teacher, the Rebbe of Shaul. Yeah. So let's see exactly how Shlomo. Let's see how Shlomo deals with this. Vayishlach haMelech vayikra l'Shimi vayomer li bnei lecha bayis b'Yerushalayim v'yashav v'sham v'lo yiteiti misham ona ve'ona. He's telling him, leave your wherever you live. You're living in a place called Bachurim, which is in Shevet Binyamin. And I want you to build a house, move, and live in Yerushalayim. Why is he telling him to live in Yerushalayim? First of all, a few reasons. He wants to keep an eye on him. He wants to keep a close eye on him, make sure that he doesn't deviate, doesn't go anywhere. Secondly, he knows it's not going to be easy for him to leave his tribe, right? To be away from his people, away from his family. So he's trying to kind of cause him to, he's going to tell him not to leave Yerushalayim, and he wants him to go ahead and leave Yerushalayim. That's why he's telling him to move to a place that's unfamiliar to him, knowing that it's going to be hard, difficult for him not to leave that place. So he's telling him, don't go anywhere, don't leave your house, and don't go anywhere. Right? Now we're going to analyze exactly what he's telling him. Once you leave and you pass Nachal Kidron was the border of Shevet Binyamin. Once you pass Nachal Kidron, you're entering the land of Shevet Binyamin. You should know that that'll be the day you're going to be killed. Right? It'll be over. Right? Yeah, I take it on. I agree, no problem. Now let's analyze exactly what Shlomo told Shimi ben Gera. First he tells him, build yourself a house and live there. Meaning, what's the implication of that? All I want you to do is build a house there, right? If, you know, you don't have to, you have to live there. Meaning, it doesn't mean you have to stay there 24-7, right? Just like when a person lives in his house, he doesn't stay there, right, 24-7, 365 days a year, right? He'll go out, you know, go for a vacation in Miami, come back, right?
I thought he couldn't go.
Hold on, but when he tells him first, "Menel chabayis v'yashav tasham," build yourself a house and live there. All that means is,
yeah, all right,
just you know, live there. If you go, you know, quick in and out, it's not a big deal, yeah. Not a problem, right? But then, what does he tell him? It says, "Lo teitze ono v'ono," right?
Don't leave the city.
What does that mean? Meaning, "Lo teitze." Mean, what does it mean? A teitze yitzia. Yitzia means to leave the city in a permanent way. Right? Meaning, don't move back to your tribe. Don't move back to Bechurim. Right? But then they tell them, later on, the day you leave, you're going to die. Meaning, right away. Right? It's not like you can, you know, go out for one day and come back. The same day you leave, that's it. It's over. You're going to be killed. Right? So that seems very harsh. But then he says later on, the day you leave and you pass Nachal Kidron, the river of Kidron, then you're going to be killed. Right? What's the significance of Nachal Kidron? Again, Nachal Kidron was the border to Shevet Binyamin. So it's very dangerous for Shlomo when Shimi goes past Nachal Kidron, because that's a sign that he's now going back to his tribe. And what's he going back to his tribe for?
Cause trouble.
To cause trouble, exactly. To rally up the troops, to maybe start a new rebellion, you never know. Right?
But this is only for him, or for any other citizen of the...
No, only for Shimi ben Gera. Only Shimi ben Gera.
There's a reason why he wants to see him all the time.
Well, Shimon ben Gera was, you know, went out against David when he cursed him. So
it was previous.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So now David told him to punish him in a way that he sees fit. It's so now we're going to see what?
It's kind of prison, not to leave.
Yeah.
The
country.
Yeah, exactly. He's in a house arrest. Can't leave his house. He's got to stay home. Right, so it really depends on what the reason for him imprisoning him is. If he just wants it, you know, like Arkady says, you know, just a house arrest, then that means he has to actually stay in his house, right? Can't go anywhere. But if he's just worried that he's going to go back to Shevet Binyamin and gain, start trouble to strengthen his support base, to get people rallied up against Shlomo. If that's the reason, then only the old Shlomo has to make sure is that Shimi does not pass Nachal Kidron, because that's the border to Shevet Binyamin. Then it's clear that he's going to start a rebellion. So he's sending him very mixed messages on one hand, he's telling him, okay, you can't leave anywhere. The day you leave, you're going to die. Then he's telling him later, no, all you got to do is make sure you don't pass Nachal Kidron. That's it. That's all he wants. So he's sending him very mixed messages. And we're going to see how Shimi deals with it. First he tells him, yes, sure, I accept it. I accept it upon myself. Everything you say, I take on. So that worked very well for 3 years. But what happened after that? So two slaves run away to Achish ben Macha. These two slaves are going to Gas, and Shimi hears about it. He gets up, he saddles the donkey. He goes to the city of Gas to find his slaves. Right, he comes back right away. He doesn't wait around. He doesn't go to the local pub. He grabs his slaves, goes right back home. Shlomo is told exactly what Shimi did. He goes to Gas, he comes right back. He tells them, what did you do? I told you never to leave the city. The day you leave the city, you're going to be killed. And they made him make a shavua. We didn't see over here anywhere that he made a shavua. But the Radak says, even though it was only a warning before, it seems like at some point in the conversation, he definitely made him make a shavua. Another pshat is that anytime the king tells you something, gives you an order, it has the equivalent of a shavua. Right? Right? I had a witnesses. Right? It's not like my word against your word. That you can say, oh, okay, it's not the case.
who's making the shvua?
Well, it's either.
I mean, the king tells him something,
right?
And he says that's like a shvua, but the king is making. He didn't say nothing.
As long as he takes it on, as he accepts it.
If he accepts what the king says, yeah. It's like he says, "I swear, I won't do it."
Yes.
And that's how to do what you told me.
Yeah, that's no, he doesn't have to say that.
He that's don't know. I know he doesn't have to say, it. But it's like he's. That's what he's saying. Because no place it says that he swore.
Right.
He didn't.
Right. But if he accepts it, that's good enough.
He gave his word.
Well, Lord, yeah. I mean, all right. He went after his slaves. I mean, why?
That's a pretty petty reason.
What, bringing you the story. Well, he left. He wasn't supposed to leave. His two slaves ran away, so he didn't have any other slaves. I mean, he had to go after them. I mean, what is this telling us?
Why did he go after his slaves?
Yeah, I mean,
he left, really.
He's not supposed to leave. What's so important about two slaves? You probably have plenty of slaves instead of anything else.
Right. But, however, Shlomo was very wise. He knew that if he tells him not to leave Yerushalayim, it's going to be very difficult. Meaning, if you just told him to live there, then, why not? The second you can find someone...
He found an excuse.
Right. You need an excuse to leave. Yeah, exactly. Maim gnuvim imtaku. Stolen water is sweeter. Lechem starim yinom. Hidden bread is... is nicer. Enum, noim. Whatever. The point is that anytime a person is confined, warned not to do something, he's automatically tempted to do exactly that. And that's what Shlomo was tapping into, and he knew that Shimon was going to disobey him.
He ran to a different country. It wasn't that he went to some other Jews, you know, in the next city.
Right. You're right. He didn't go to a different country. But again, it was only one day.
The slaves ran. It wasn't Jewish country. It was by the Goyim.
That's so. What's he's told not to leave. If you leave, you're going to get killed.
Yeah.
And they're telling a story, two slaves ran away and he went after them. Right. Why should he take a chance out of his life just to go after two slaves?
Because in Garden Eden, God says, don't eat from the tree.
Now,
so when someone tells you not to... God tells you not to do something. Yeah. As the rabbi said, you're gonna figure a way to do it.
Yeah. In any case, so what happened is that when Shlomo is telling him, okay, you might have think, listen, I told you, right, that all you got to do is not pass Nachal Kidron, right? But when you accepted it, when you accepted that everything I say. You should have gone l'chumra. You should have been more stringent. That whatever meaning, what will Shlomo think? Don't say, okay, he probably didn't mean that. He probably didn't think that this would be a problem, right? No, when the king tells you something, you always have to go that extra mile and be more stringent and think, oh, maybe the king did not allow me to do this either, right? And when you said Toyva Davar Shamati, that's what you're accepting. You're accepting that according to what I think, Shlomo. According to what I think, that's the sword that you're taking on.
You didn't want me to go west, and I went east, so
right.
I think that's what I saw. He said, Kidron Valley was, let's say, west.
Right.
And he went east.
Right, right.
He said, that didn't count. He said, that.
Right, but he's saying, it's got to be according to what I think, right? Don't say, okay, maybe he allowed this. If you have any room for any wiggle room, you should always, when in doubt... Always have to go l'chumra. You always have to be more stringent. Umadua loy shemar te shvuah Hashem, right? It's a shvuah. Anytime a king tells you something, you should. It's considered. It says the equivalence of a shvuah. It's a mitzvah shor tivisi olecha. Ve'emar melech Hashimi ato yadato skol harosh or yad alavavcha. Shor asisa lo David Avi ve'yeshiv Hashem esrascha bereishecha, right? Right? You know exactly all the evil that was in your heart. Right? Meaning, what does he mean, the evil that's in his heart? You might think that, meaning it's not clear from the fact that he cursed David when David was running away, that in and of itself does not prove that he's rebelling against the king. Because maybe, it's just, he thought that, you know, David's time is over. Now Shalom is king. So he's not rebelling against anybody, right? David is not the king anymore, so I'm not doing anything. He's not, this has no significance at all. But from the fact that you now went against what I told you, David's son tells you, that shows retroactively on what David, what we did to David.
About
exactly. That you are disobeying the king.
You meant it.
Yeah, exactly. So don't tell me that it was just a shegeg, I didn't know, I thought maybe he's not king anymore. No, the fact that you disobeyed me and it turned out that way, that shows retroactively that you were going against David as well. V'amelech Shlomo baruch v'kisa David yinochen lifnei Hashem ad oylam. Right? And he's saying this upon himself, that my kisei will be blessed, meaning it will not be fault on me that I caused you to stumble and to disobey me, because this is all through what you did wrong, Shimi, and not what I caused you to do. Right, and by me killing you now, the Kisei David will now be whole because I'm avenging the what you did to David. ויצב המלך את בנייהו בן יהוידע, וייצב ויפקע בו ויומוס, וממלכו נכינו ביד שלמה. And he tells Benayahu, the general, he's doing all the dirty work. He's telling him, go ahead and kill Shimi. And finally, the mamlacha, the kingship, is very stable in the hands of Shlomo. It mentioned before also that that the melucha of Shlomo was stable. Right? It says, "Vatikun malchusay ma'od." That's what it mentions before, right? That, and now, so the Malbim explains that there's a difference between a melucha and a mamlacha. Melucha is referring to the king, right? Meaning the king is now supported. He's he's got his power base. But mamlacha is a much broader term. Mamlacha is referring not only to the king himself and to his position in the palace.
Whole country.
Right, exactly. It's referring to the whole country. Meaning, until now, even though Shlomo was a very powerful king, he still had potential pockets of rebellion of rebels within different parts of the country. Right? He had Yoav, who was not loyal to David and would not be loyal to Shlomo. He had Shimi ben Gera, he had Adonio. Right? Even within the palace, he had people that were not loyal to him. Now that he finally took care of all the enemies of David that were potential enemies to him as well, now finally the mamlacha, the whole country, the whole kingship is now stable and he's got nothing to worry about. That's why it says at this point,
Who says this? I mean, it says you got the Lord shall return your work upon your head. That's the Shlomo talking.
Yeah.
Then it says, "And King Solomon shall be blessed." Who said that?
He's saying this about himself.
He's saying that on himself.
Yeah.
And the throne of David shall be established. I mean, Solomon is saying that himself.
Yes.
He's saying that. A blessing like that.
No. What he's referring, he's not giving himself a pat on the back. What he's referring to is that don't think that I'm going to be punished for causing you to stumble, Shimi. Rather, what I did is the right thing to do.
All right?
And what you stumbled is because of your wrongdoing. And it's not because of me, right? Because really, you might say, okay, Shlomo might have caused him to stumble. He was the one who, you know, gave him the mixed messages. He caused him to get confused. And he's saying, no, it's not on me. It's not on me, Shlomo. Rather, it's on you. It's part of your wrongdoing, and don't blame anybody else for your mistakes. Okay, we'll have to stop here. We got Meyerv in 2 minutes.
So this whole thing happened, even though he left, he came back. But once he left, he broke the...